Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is your host, Jerry Williams, and we have a lot to discuss today on the show, including I got some breaking news to everybody. I have decided to be a Republican. You know, I have actually supported the Democrats for a long time, and before that, I actually supported the Republican Party for the longest time. But now, after serious consideration of knowing how dumbed down the President of the United States is, Joe Biden makes me very concerned for our safety of our country. As a matter of fact, I'm truly loving Donald Trump. I really am. And I think that he is the master. I don't know, but I do believe that Donald Trump is the master. So I am decided to switch my viewpoint on Democrats versus Republicans, and I'm now supporting the Republican Party. The hell with the Democrats, right? Why should we even support that kind of shit, right? Also, we're going to discuss sex talk. Believe it or not, sex talk is very important here. Now, you know, it's funny. I'm going to pre-warn everybody that's out there. If you are under 18 years of age, I don't want you to be on here listening to the show. You know, go get your parent or legal guardian, because this is going to be some explicit stuff on here. Well, everybody knows that the Jerry Williams Show is an explicit bullshit, right? We say many different cuss words. We don't care. It's a podcast. That's what you do on podcasts. And that's why you bring this shit up. So I'm going to describe some sexual terminology that you may or may have not ever heard of. And I got to be honest with you, some of it is very surprising, because I was actually studying the terms before the show, and I thought to myself, I have never in my entire life heard of some of these things. Either A, I am way too old, and I have never realized that we use these terms, or I just didn't ever see it coming. You know, I have no clue. But, you know, like I said, it could blow your mind when you hear some of these terms. Maybe it'll educate you a little bit. You know, that's one of the things I like to do, is educate people on these type of subjects, like sexual talk. You know, before I get to that, I'm going to do a 180 here for a second, and we're going to talk about religion for a second. You know, I have actually been so disgusted at the religious ways of these televangelists who are stealing the money from so many people. I mean, it's sickening. They're stealing money from elderly people. They're stealing money from people who don't understand the truth. And what I mean by that is that they truly believe, and by the way, these people are usually desperate people who are looking for somebody to help them. And so when they get so desperate, they start begging for help that these ministers prey upon them and saying, well, you know, I'm here to help you out because I'm going to pray to you and I'm going to preach out of the Bible, which is okay. You should do that. But then you say shit like this. I'm going to help you, but you got to make a donation to me. All right? So the more money that you donate, the more that you're planting that seed and showing God that you are serious enough that you want a stronger prayer to be taken care of, or a healing, or something of that magnitude. It just, that's what they do. So send your money, send your check. If you have a scholarship with your children's name on it, cash that damn thing in, because you're going to make more money than that when you give the money to me. And that's what these ministers do. But it's getting to the point where it's so sickening that it's an embarrassment to everything that we believe in. It's really, really pathetic, folks. And you got these ministers out there like Kenneth Copeland. You have Joel Osteen, man. Joel Osteen is a motivator. I don't really want to call him a minister. He's more of a motivational speaker. And so what he does is he motivates people by talking to them, giving them inspiring messages, uplifting words, how to handle it. And, of course, he does use the Bible on this. But the whole thing is that that's not what it's about. So he uses these uplifting messages, and he prays about it, he preaches about it, and that's what Joel Osteen does. Joel Osteen's really good with this shit. So you have this type of scenario, and then you have, I mean, like Joel Osteen to me is like, do you know, remember Tim Robbins when he was going out and doing these motivational shit? Well, that's what Joel Osteen is. He's like Tim Robbins. And that's what's really important here, is to know how he handles himself. And so Joel Osteen is one of those type of people. So here's what we're finding out. This is what we're finding out. These ministers are preying upon the people. They're really corrupt, and they're really sucking the money from the people. That's what they do. That's what they're wanting to do. And that's what they're excited about, is to prey upon the people and make money off of them in hopes that they won't catch their cons that they're doing. But it's really, really getting sickening. It really is getting sickening. So somebody wanted to ask me, am I seriously changing my way to Republican? Yes, I am. You know, I have really thought this through. And I think what it was is what they did to Donald Trump. You know, they really did kind of do him wrong on this. So I feel bad. I truly feel bad for the guy. So I decided to give up the Democratic part of it and continue to believe in the Republican Party. And so that's just what I believe. We need to stand up and say enough is enough, right? That's what we got to do. So yes, it is true. I have switched my party affiliation from Democrat to Republican. So there you have it, guys. Really cool stuff, right? This is exciting news when it comes to this. Because everybody probably thought, well, Jerry will never switch back. But he did. Jerry did switch back. Amen, baby. Amen on that one. So there you have it, guys. All right. So we're going to talk about this stuff. We're going to really get into this, these subjects. And it's going to be kind of interesting, some of the stuff we're going to bring up. I'm telling you, man, these terminologies, that is really crazy. Yeah, I mean, I really actually had to look. I mean, I really was thinking to myself, I'm like, this is some fucked up shit. Really, it is. Now, again, some of these terminology you might already know. Like I said, some of the stuff you may not know. And, you know, I can understand that. If you don't know what these, you know, what these sexual terminology is, then that's cool. That's cool. You'll eventually get this with me. And trust me, I've really thought about this when I was reading this. I'm thinking to myself, man, this is like some of the weirdest shit I've ever seen. But it's something that, you know, honestly, I think it's good to learn this stuff because then it kind of lets you know what's going on. but these are probably stuff that you've never heard of, or you may have heard of this. And so we'll get to some of this stuff and see what you know about this. You guys ready for this? All right, so remember, it's got to be over 18 to listen to this part of it. Oh, my God. All right, so let's get to it. So for men, this is terminology that you may have heard of or you may not have heard of as a male. The first term is called aftercare. Have you ever heard of this term, aftercare? Aftercare, by the way, here's the definition, is the practice of making sure everyone feels cared for and supported after a sex session. Interesting. I don't think I've ever done that. Have you, like, oh, let me make sure you feel okay. Are you okay now? Are you okay? You know, most of the time it's the woman that wants to talk to you and carry a conversation, then you fall asleep. Yeah, that's a man. You know, the men, when they get done doing what they're doing, it's like, I'm going to fucking sleep now. And they pass the fuck out. And they're done. They pass out and they are done. All right, so another term here is boofing. Boofing. That's called boofing with a B. Boofing is when you or a partner insert drugs into your body through your anus. What the fuck? This can be done with your fingers, or your partner can put the drugs on their penis and have anal sex with you. Boofing. So if you're going to boof somebody, it's when you put drugs on your penis or insert this into their asshole. Oh, wow. All right, let's just continue on. This is getting interesting. Bussy, B-U-S-S-Y, bussy. All right, bussy, as we've previously defined bussy in a sort of way, is the word boy or pussy, and it's used to refer to a man's anus. It's used predominantly in the queer culture, particularly among more effeminate bottoms than anal reproductive partner. So when you say, are you a bussy, this is what that terminology is. That's what it jumps into, right? Doppelganger. I've heard of this term, I think. Well, I've heard of doppelganger as being your clone or lookalike, right? So a doppelganger in sexual terminology for men is when you have sex with someone that looks identical to you but isn't actually related. Interesting. How about the facial? It's also AKA, or also known as, the money shot. I have heard of this one, I think. So it's when a person with a penis comes on their partner's face. The term money shot comes from the prevalence of their move in porn. How about face fuck? I've never heard of this one. When someone aggressively fucks their partner's mouth, typically while holding their head in place. Well, there you go. And I have heard of this next term, which really shocked me to find out what it was, but it's called belching with an F, belching. Belching is when you sip your cum out of your partner's anus after having anal sex. It's often done with a straw, but we'll go ahead and consider it belching if you just lick it out. Wow. Interesting. Felching. I don't know if anybody's ever done that. Have you ever done felching? I know I have never done that. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've never, ever tried felching. I've never done it. I don't think I would ever do it, but there you go. There's the terminology of it. Then you have something that's called fisting. Fisting is the fine art of penetrating someone's vagina or anus or with your entire hand. Lots of lube is required, by the way. Fisting, what the hell? Why would you put a fist anywhere? I mean, that's, I don't know, man. That's just interesting that they would do that. All right, well, that's something I never knew about. Hotline bling, hotline bling. It's just another word for a booty call. The word became popular after Drake's song, Hotline Bling. Masturbating. When you've watched porn while you're jacking off or masturbating, but you have to wait because the video is buffering. It's called masturbating. So you have to wait, and you're getting into it, and then all of a sudden, bam, the video buffers, and you have to wait. Oh, man, that could actually be dangerous. Could you imagine? I mean, you could get blue ball. Things can happen. It could get really sickening. Masturbating. I've never heard of that term. Beautiful term, by the way, masturbating. Uh-oh, going through a buffer. Can't do nothing else. Guess I'll sit back and just relax. And the infamous word of pearl necklace. You've probably heard of this. When the penis owner shoots their semen around the partner's neck, leaving a little white circles resembling a pearl necklace. Now, we've all heard of this, right? You've heard of it. I've heard of it. Then there's postponed. When someone runs late because of a sexual encounter, get it? The postponed. There is something that's called shrimping. Shrimping. I always would have thought this was shrimp itself, right? Bubba Gump and shrimp. But I don't think that's what it is, folks. Here it is. Shrimping is when you suck on someone's toes sexually. So if you're going to suck on somebody's toes, it's called shrimping. I guess the little toes would be considered as little shrimp. Shrimp. All right, so if you're going to shrimp somebody, it's called sucking on their toes. Simping, S-I-M-P-I-N-G, simping. This is a term that's been very popular on TikTok, referring to men who bend over backwards to win over women who are barely interested. Wow. Then you have splashing, a sexual fetish that entails bringing food into your sex life, specifically large quantities of food, so that things get messy, sloshing around. Wet and messy fetish is what it is. Sploshing. There you go. You can splosh all you want to, guys. WAM, wet and messy. That's the abbreviation, WAM. A sexual fetish for getting covered in a messy substance such as food or paint. Somebody was going to go with thinking it was something else that was disgusting, right? Yeah, I know. It's what it is, man. It's interesting enough that these people come up with these terms. Awkward arm. There's a thing called awkward arm. This is when two people try any form of cuddling, in the spoons arrangement, the rear party invariably ends up with an awkward arm, which, whenever they put it, will be crushed beneath one body or the other. It is usually leads to wishing arms could be pulled off and then put back on afterwards. Specifically, and specially made beds with arms holes in them might even be more practical of a solution. Booty grazing. Yeah, no doubt. Already familiar with the concept of booty call? Well, if you're not, we just told you about it. And so booty grazing is essentially the same thing, giving to a more industrial approach. The act of mass texting a generic message to members of the opposite sex in hopes that a guaranteed hookup for the night will be established. And we have Furbies, or the furry. So we have the furry community. Really, I've never heard of this. I didn't know they had a furry community. This is where adults who like to dress up as animals and enjoy themselves in various ways get described extensively and not very sympathetically on the Urban Dictionary. But a Furby, however, is perhaps too sympathetic. This is a definition explains, is a person who likes to have sex with someone dressed in a mascot type of costume. Wow. You know, it's really interesting that this is what it is. How about this? I've heard of this term before. I remember they used to use it a lot. It was teabagging. Well, it's almost the mainstream practice. To judge from many entries of a site that covers the subject, difficult to explain basically, but it's when you take the fellation that goes to the extra couple miles and dumping their ball sacks over somebody's face is part of teabagging. So next time you mention teabagging, you got to watch out for what it really truly means. Interesting enough, this is the kind of shit you have to watch out for, right? Because you never know what kind of term you're going to use, and then you're going to catch yourself in a really serious situation. All right, so we have syphilis. This is really interesting because you guys need to know about this. If you have sex without a condom, this is the kind of shit. It's a disease. It's bad blood. Haircut. Old Joe Pox. Syphilis is a serious venereal disease, which is VD in abbreviation. And creamsicling. Have you ever heard of the term creamsicling? Creamsicling is where, or they call a frosty pop, is another term for this. It's where somebody has sex with a condom, and of course the condom is filled up with semen. They put it in a freezer, freeze it, and then use it again. Interesting. Oh my God. Yeah, I don't think I'd ever do that kind of weird shit. How about this? Circle jerk. This is where a group of guys get together and jerk each other off by masturbating, using the help of each other to masturbate the other person off, called a circle jerk. Interesting, isn't it? I don't think I would ever have thought that you would hear. I mean, I've heard of some of these terms. I don't know, man. You got to know the terminology for some of this stuff. But some of the stuff's very interesting. It really is. And again, I would never know some of these terms of what it means. How about diddle? Diddle is the word masturbation is a bit too on the nose for you. By all means, feel free to diddle or wink. Vaginal funeral. When a person puts you off so much that nothing he does could possibly redeem your vagina, there's a vagina funeral for you. Yeah, that's probably definitely a vagina funeral for you. That's pretty sad when that happens. Sasquatch is pubic hair that's gone very wild with its own growth spurt. It eludes the pubic hair with throwing off the perspective of the sexual partner. Fling cleaning. It is described as the act of cleaning up your place when you're expected a date in case things turn out to be different. Sporking. The act of spooning while the guy has an erection. A tad bit uncomfortable, but who we are to complain about this, the females say. Okay, ninja sex, the term for when you have your partner or when you and your partner are having sex very quiet for the fear of waking up your housemates. Now, this is one of those sex meaning words that will definitely come in handy. And then we have the infamous doggy style. When you get your partner from behind, usually it is done through anal. This is called doggy style. In the looks of what a dog looks like when they have sex with their partners. Doggy style. I would have probably thought that would be something that would be possible. I would say that some of these terms are really odd in what you would think. And again, this is just some of the terminology that some people use. Like I said, a lot of this I would never have known because, honestly, I probably am way outdated for some of this shit because I would never know this shit. Now, some of you may know this, but I know I didn't know some of this stuff. Bubba Grump. Yeah, there you go. Okay, ABR. This is a fetish. It's called ABR, abbreviated, for adult breastfeeding. This abbreviation is mainly used in the fetish world and is a fetish born of a male wanting to breastfeed off a woman who has milk in her breasts. Acorn. Acorn is the head of the penis and a small penis. In terminology, if the woman says there's an acorn in here, it means there's a small little cock running around. Aftermath. The male's worst nightmare. Postal after-sex cuddling and talking. That's a male's worst nightmare. Air inflation, one of the most common types of inflation fetish. This usually involves the fantasy of inflating a person with a bicycle pump, holy crap, to a cosmic large size. Some practitioner of the fetish enjoy pumping air into the partner's anus to create a bulging belly and feeling of fullness. Though this practice is not without risk. No shit, it's not without risk. Who the hell is going to put a tire pump and pump up your ass? Seriously, who's going to pump up somebody's asshole with a damn tire pump? What the fuck? Airplane blonde, a woman who dyes her hair blonde, but who still has a black box. Now, that's funny shit. Alarm clock. Alarm clock is a partner who wakes you up in the morning for sex. Interesting. Yeah. There's a lot of guys that do this. And there are some girls that do this too. Anal beads. Oh my God, I've actually, you know, it's funny that this would pop up because anal beads is something that we used to tease our friend of ours with because he used to love these things. Anal beads are a class of sex toys consisting of balls of various size strung together on a string or flexible rod. Pleasure is not as much delivered from this insertion of the beads as from their extraction, despite how tempting it may be. Anal beads should not be ripped out with the same enthusiasm with which one yanks the cord of a lawnmower. Man, oh man. Who the hell would do that? That's messed up. Yeah, I thought I would read these. And, you know, it's funny because I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, some of this shit is way out there. Like, it's so way out there, I would never know what it is. Arm candy. A person who has dated for her superficial beauty as opposed to her substance. Arm candy is most often a status symbol employed by other bachelors to demonstrate their prowess. Okay. Sexual arousal. We already know what that is, right? Yeah, some of this stuff's very interesting. I would have never thought this to be anything that's really serious, but here we go. Backseat driver. Backseat. Now, I know what that means when you're in a car, but according to this, a top who tells the bottom what to do sexually while penetrating the bottom from behind. Wow. Bacon strips. A meaty vagina characterized by a loose labia minora that appears stretched out from excessive use. Shit stains left over in underwear, and beef curtains. Ball busting, a person who metaphorically pounds your balls with necessarily nagging, teasing, joking, or harassing is another one. And blue balls, when somebody takes your penis and gets you to the point of coming that it doesn't come out. It gets stuck in the urethra tube and then fills up, and then all of a sudden your balls swell up to be the size of balloons. Wow. Man, that would be bad. That would be real bad. BBBJ, bareback blowjob. BBC, big black cock used in personal ads. What the fuck? BBW, big beautiful women used in personal ads. Bear, a gay man who is large, hairy, and often as cuddly as a teddy bear. All right, so we got that. Bee stings. These are referring to female small breasts. Mosquito bites. You know, it's really interesting when I thought maybe I would know some of these terms, but there's a lot of them in here, man. There's a lot of terms. I just couldn't believe all these terms that's in here. You know, if I literally actually was to read all these things, I'd probably be here until Christmas. There's that many definitions. Sexual definitions. I mean, this is crazy. Crazy shit right there, man. Honestly, man, I'm telling you, folks, it is crazy to see this stuff. But it is. It's out there. By the way, let me just kind of throw this out there. I'm going to play an audio clip. When I get done with this audio clip, it'll be the end of the show, so let me just throw this out there to you, everybody. So, yes, everybody keeps asking me if I wanted to switch my affiliation to Republican, and I'm supporting Donald Trump. So now that we are at the end of the show, I will tell you this. It's April Fool's Day. So, April Fools, you fucking dumbasses. Would you really think that I would support Donald Trump? Get the fuck out of here. Have a good night, everybody.
What about what happened on January 6th? What do you think what happened there?
I don't really know what happened on January 6th.
January 6th, the...
The election day?
No, election day was back in November. Do you...
I don't even know what...
Do you know about January 6th?
No.
So when I say January 6th, that means...
Just... Nothing. I don't know.
That's just a day to you.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the insurrection attempt at the Capitol?
No.
For almost everyone here, insurrectioning was a non-issue. It was the hearings themselves that were the problem.
I think it's an abomination.
It's just McCarthyism. It's a witch trial.
It's a witch hunt.
It is.
Yeah. A mob of people coming together with pitchforks.
Yeah.
Saying, and we can't have that.
Yeah, with an agenda, here's the narrative we're pushing, and that's all we're pushing is our narrative.
A mob of people with an agenda... pushing an agenda. Yes. That can't stand in America.
No.
We should have an investigation about a mob of people. That's
we
something
should.
Everybody would watch that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Nancy Pelosi, she is very responsible for what went on then. She planned it.
She planned what happened?
I believe so.
Why did she plan to get attacked by a mob of Trump supporters?
Because she wanted to be able to blame it on the Trump supporters and have something bad to say about them.
Shouldn't we investigate that?
Yes.
So you must be watching the January 6th committee.
No.
So what was it people were watching?
2,000 Mules came out, and it showed a lot of stuff.
You've got 2,000 Mules.
And then this movie, I'm 2,000 Mules.
2,000 Mules.
Yes.
2,000 Mules is a documentary by Dinesh D'Souza, claiming massive voter fraud based on some cell phone data and surveillance footage that's been lauded by Trump, laughed at by Bill Barr, discredited by fact-checkers, and banned from even right-wing media because of its unfounded claims.
You know, if you turn on Fox News, I have never mentioned that movie once. Somebody's pulling the strings.
Who do you think it is?
It may be Obama.
You think Obama's pulling the strings?
Or it could be George Soros.
You think it's possible that Fox News doesn't mention 2,000 Mules? Your theory, there's a giant conspiracy up on top in which they don't do it. Or the second theory is that movie's not credible.
I know the movie's credible.
Maybe sharing some of the committee's findings would break through this MAGA bubble.
Rudy Giuliani was drunk the night of the election, and it was partially his idea to deny the election results. Buy it?
I haven't seen that. You're the first source I've gotten on that.
You haven't heard that at all?
No.
That Rudy was drunk that night?
It's an election night. I wouldn't be surprised if anybody was. So, yeah.
You trust a drunk Rudy Giuliani?
I'm not saying I trust a drunk Rudy Giuliani.
The question is, have you trusted yourself or other individuals that you were with under the influence of alcohol?
I totally have.
Then what's the difference?
I am not the commander-in-chief in charge of the United States of America.
Doesn't matter.
Well, I think that's an important detail.
If no one was willing to turn on the hearing, I decided to bring the hearing to them. I first shared testimony from Trump's own acting attorney general, dismissing Trump's claims of voter fraud.
I told him that the stuff that his people were shoveling out to the public was bullshit.
Like I said, you just can't be up 300,000 votes and then lose.
No, but that's Trump's attorney general. Does that sway you at all?
He's turned on it. He's been paid by somebody to shut his mouth.
Everybody knows the election was fraud.
No, he's saying the opposite.
He's saying the opposite?
Yeah, he's saying there wasn't fraud.
Wow.
That's bullshit.
Wow.
Does it make you kind of change your perspective and your assumptions?
It does.
Yeah. So you're not going to go in there right now?
Yes, sir, I am.
You are going in there right now to see
Donald
Trump speak?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Well, good productive chat. What's your response there?
I think it's true.
You think Bill Barr is right?
Yeah.
He's talking about the fact that the election was stolen. It's bullshit.
Yeah, for sure.
So he says it wasn't stolen.
No, it's stolen.
You don't believe that?
No.
So yeah. Who do you trust? Like Trump? Trump's family?
I trust Trump.
You trust Ivanka?
Yeah, I do. I think she's very smart and very intelligent.
Let me show you. This is what she said.
How did that affect your perspective about the election when Attorney General Barr made that statement?
It affected my perspective. I respect Attorney General Barr. So I accepted what he said, was saying.
I don't know. That's not edited in any way.
You don't believe she actually said that?
Did she say it on Twitter?
It almost don't even look like her.
You don't think that?
It could not be her. It might be one of those, what, they got clones out there these days?
You think that was a...
It might be a clone, yeah.
It might be an Ivanka clone.
Yeah.
Hot take, my friend. It's almost like you're confronted with it, and your brain just does somersaults to figure out there must be some other reason.
She looks frightened.
She does look scared, almost like
she's
been caught.
Frightened.
What do you think?
I'm confused a little bit.
Ivanka.
His daughter.
His daughter says she accepts what the Attorney General said, which is that the election wasn't stolen, that Trump lost.
Well, is it a lie?
I mean, if you listen to these people, yeah, it's a big lie. And I'm fearful you're going to go inside there and he's going to keep telling you that lie.
We should go. Yeah.
Was there on January 6th.
Oh, yeah.
Being,
so was I.
You were there January 6th?
Yes.
What do you say to people who say he should have been there on January
6th? It's ridiculous. It was the most beautiful thing I ever saw. Thousands, maybe a million people gathered. So quiet. It was a peaceful rally.
January 6th.
January 6th.
January 6th.
January 6th. And when we walked up to the Capitol building.
Quiet.
Yeah.
Birds chirping, police officers screaming.
No.
No.
No, I saw them sitting around waiting for the donuts.
Some of them were attacked that day.
They were.
Did you not see the videos?
Tetris is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I gotta go there and license it.
Where?
Russia.
Did you not see the videos?
I couldn't watch it.
You couldn't watch it. Why is that?
When we went home and we were watching on TV what happened.
Yes.
I said, turn that off. That is not what happened today.
You didn't see any violence?
No.
But to be clear, when it was on television, violent images, you turned it off.
I turned it off because it wasn't true. It wasn't an accurate depiction of what was going on that day.
What was it? Was it like a magical CGI George Lucas shit?
Oh, well, yeah, could be. I don't know.
Did I just give you one? And you're like, well, that's an easy out. I'll take it.
I'm not going to talk about all this.
I had hoped this crowd would want to keep discussing real issues and not get distracted by conspiracies. But people had some thoughts.
I'm not going to be a conspiracist or anything like that, but I just watched a movie last week with Robin Williams in it. It was called
Man of the Year.
Man of the Year. And guess what? They had election fraud back then. The machines, they were switching to doing it electronically, and they were counting wrong.
Is this a documentary?
No, it's just a movie.
Are there any lessons we can take from Mork and Mindy?
No.
Who do you guys see as the current legitimate president?
I don't think we currently have one. If we do, maybe hopefully Trump's running behind the scenes, keeping the military on our side.
The recent attack that took out the leader of Al-Qaeda, who ordered that attack?
I don't know. I didn't read a whole lot of that. I try to stay out of the media as much as possible because it's all a bunch of theatrics anyways, so.
Yeah, and you're not somebody who gives in to theatrics.
Right.
Right.
There's a huge push for normalizing pedophilia.
How do they normalize it? Are they making pedophiles look cool?
Well, if you go online, there's a whole list of pedophile symbols.
Really?
Yeah. They're like circular symbols. There's a lot of triangles. There's colors. A lot of them are in pizza. Pizza related. Like ping pong pizza, for example, in D.C.
That's a pedophile pizza?
Yes.
What, if I order a pizza, what images should I be on the lookout
triangle.
For? A triangle would mean
with a circle.
Pedophile made that pizza.
Yep.
From Pizzagate to Robin Williams Gate, this rally had everything because they're followers of this guy.
Well, nobody's gotten to the bottom of 9/11, unfortunately.
What don't we know about 9/11?
I think it was all planned. I think that it came down on their explosive.
It was an inside job.
Yes, I think so. But I think Bush knew it was happening.
Really? Is Biden just wasting time there?
Biden doesn't know what he's doing.
He recently just killed the head of Al-Qaeda.
I don't believe it.
Do you think that's just a made-up news story?
Just like Bin Laden with Obama.
Clarify who's still alive. Bin
JFK
Laden?
Jr. is.
JFK Jr. is still alive.
JFK Jr. is still alive?
Yeah. So, I think JFK Jr. is going to try and expose globalists because they killed his father.
I thought he was a magazine magnate who lived in New York.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Let's talk about John F. Kennedy Jr. But to help me do that, I want to bring in our first guest, Will Sommer. Will's a politics reporter for the Daily Beast. He's got a book coming out in February called Trust the Plan, The Rise of QAnon and the Conspiracy That Unhinged America. Will, welcome to Jordan Klepper Fingers, The Conspiracy. I'm excited to have you on. You are here to help me walk through and understand what is going on in this world of John F. Kennedy Jr. And I will say this, I go out on the road and I start hearing people talking about JFK Jr. And initially I'm thinking, oh, they're talking about JFK. There's a long history of conspiracies with JFK. And then I'm putting together that it's JFK Jr. And then I start to see signs up. I start to see bumper stickers that have him as vice presidential candidate to Donald Trump. And then a month or so back, I go to a rally in the Midwest and I'm hearing sweet old grandmothers talk about John F. Kennedy Jr. And I can't make heads or tails of it. Can you set out a little bit of where this began? What do we need to know?
Sure. So, I mean, this is really bizarre, as you noted. I mean, the origins of this are within QAnon. Of course, there was this figure Q who was giving these anonymous clues. And then at one point in 2018, Q sort of vanished for a month on the forums where the clues came out. And then someone named R shows up and starts saying, you know, all of this is really about JFK Jr. And so that's kind of where it begins. And eventually Q comes back and kind of says, like, the JFK Jr. stuff's garbage. You know, what have you been tricking all my people? But the JFK Jr. stuff really starts there with this idea that JFK Jr. faked his death to take on the deep state and help Donald Trump sort of bring about this sort of QAnon utopia.
There's a conspiracy inside the conspiracy. It's a conspiracy turducken right now.
Exactly. Yeah, it's sort of a splinter faction. And you get this situation where, like, the kind of the mainline QAnon people will often be like, oh, my God, like, you know, I believe all this Pizzagate stuff. I believe this about Hillary Clinton. But these JFK Jr. people are embarrassing us. They just believe totally stupid stuff.
That's the dynamic you want there. We're like, oh, my God, can we just go back to serious things like talking about how the Democrats drink baby's blood and all this JFK Jr. stuff? We're losing credibility, people. We're losing credibility. Put your tinfoil hats back on and let's march.
Yeah, I mean, basically they're saying, you know, these JFK Jr. people are almost like a government op meant to embarrass QAnon. But really this belief in JFK Jr. has persisted ever since.
So what was ours intention in this situation? Like, initially that JFK Jr. one is alive, so perhaps he faked his death, and two, he's aligning himself with Donald Trump. It feels like there's four steps there that I'm having a hard time connecting. Why JFK Jr. and let's start with why he's alive and why that should matter.
Sure. So the arc that is presented by R, and I want to point out here that Q, R is the letter after Q, and so that's sort of the explanation for that.
Is it? Or is it, Will? Your mainstream elitist alphabet says it's the letter after Q, but only if you're moving forward through time, but that's a whole other podcast.
Exactly. So the sort of the story that's laid out is that John F. Kennedy, the father, is killed by the deep state, you know, in 1963. JFK Jr. sees this and says, oh man, the deep state might come for me and I want to get revenge on them for murdering my father. And so for years he builds up this relationship with Donald Trump, you know, because they were both sort of these New York socialite figures. There are pictures of them together. And so this is used to suggest that they were like best buddies. Then in this storyline, JFK Jr. fakes his death in this plane crash to sort of go undercover and sort of lay the groundwork for the QAnon journey and eventually emerge. For a while, they thought he was going to replace Mike Pence in 2020 on the ticket.
Sure.
And that he would sort of kind of help Trump and sort of get this final revenge on the deep state.
So in this world, they see JFK Jr. as faking his own death to exist undercover and wait for the right time, still maintaining a relationship with Donald Trump throughout all of this? Or did Donald Trump just come about and become sort of an avatar for JFK Jr.'s ascension?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, a lot of it is a little contradictory and not super thought out. You know, that might surprise you, I know. But basically, the idea is that, you know, back in the 90s or the 80s, they kind of cut this deal. And they said, Donald Trump said, man, this stuff is really messed up, you know. And then JFK Jr. said, tell me about it. You know, they shot my dad. And so then they sort of teamed up and JFK Jr. went into hiding.
Tell me about it. They shot my dad. Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right. This is messed up.
I found out that there is a group above the president, and they're called the Council of Foreign Relations.
Who's on the council?
It is the secret council.
But who are they?
I know. They're like...
No, I don't, though.
I know.
But no, I don't.
Neither does anybody else. Those Jewish bankers, they're trying to screw us.
We're swimming in that anti-Semitic land, right?
You're a slave, you're a slave, you're a slave, you're all slaves.
You see Republicans on one side and...
The devil on the other.
Are we talking metaphorical devil, like, oh, they do bad stuff?
No, literally, you know,
vampires drinking blood.
I don't want to nitpick here, but vampires tend to be eternally youthful. And I look at Nancy Pelosi, and she's a lot of things, but I guess I don't think vampires.
Somebody in her party definitely drinks blood.
Welcome home, Commander.
Somebody in her party definitely drinks blood.
In this world, the conspiracy theory is Hollywood, liberal elites, and Hillary Clinton are murdering children in ritual sacrifices, harvesting the chemical compound from human children, drinking their blood to ingest adrenochrome because it has some sort of elixir of life properties. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and you're telling me it may not be true. If we trace back this specific theory, even the origins of adrenochrome, does it go back before Hunter Thompson? Does it go back before it becomes sort of pulp in modern culture? Is there a history that dates back to even earlier?
It definitely does. And the way that it dates back is a little bit of sort of associative thinking. So conspiracy theories often work this way. They kind of jump onto things. They have a very lazy logic. They jump onto things that are already fully formed. One of the conspiracy theories that is attached to adrenochrome, or that adrenochrome is basically drawing on and modeling itself on, is blood libel, which is a conspiracy theory dating back to the Middle Ages that Jewish people drink or use the blood of Christian children for their religious rituals, specifically at Passover. And
for the record, we don't do that.
Yes. I mean,
thank you, Matt. Thank you for context.
Thank you for specifying that. It's designed specifically to incite violence. Like, that is what blood libel is for. So there's that kind of thematic connection. But then there's also the fact that the main purveyors of adrenochrome, like Alex Jones, like Liz Crokin, say that it's blood libel, say that it actually dates back to that. And if you look at these adrenochrome memes, one sort of popular one that goes around has this very obviously medieval image of a baby being drained of blood with people standing around it. And it says at the top, why does this image even exist? And the image is of Simon of Trent, which is the most famous and well-documented blood libel. And this particular blood libel started Passover 1475. A father had come to the bishop of Trent and said, my two-year-old son Simon is missing. And this bishop already had a story ready to go. He decided it must be the Jewish community, the very small Jewish community in Trent. He had a couple reasons for wanting this story to be true. One, he felt like the Pope was too soft on the Jewish people and that he was too cozy with them. So this was his little power grab in opposition to the Pope. And then also, if you had a saint, if he could prove that Simon was martyred by the Jews, if you had a saint in your town, that was a huge money-making opportunity. Like, you could get people from all around to make pilgrimages to your little altar, and then you would make money basically off of like brand building. And so
it was like that
the brand building opportunity.
Yeah, it was like there that era's Cheesecake Factory. If you had a Cheesecake Factory in town, you know you're going to get people from the suburbs who are going to come in, they're going to pay some money, it's going to help the town.
That's the thing. And he wanted to kind of put Trent on the map. And so even before they start any kind of trial or anything, they round up the Jewish community, the entire Jewish community, and imprison them. And he hires a physician to write this very inflammatory autopsy that talks less about Simon's body and more about the phrase is dry-throated Jews howling for Christian blood, like this really over-the-top kind of autopsy. And then he takes this autopsy.
Wait, that was the doctor?
That was the doctor.
That's some really high-end literary anti-Semitism.
Yep. And it gets more high-end because then he takes this and he sends it around to poets and to artists and is like, make stuff from this. And they do. Like the poets start writing poems about Simon of Trent, and the woodcutters start making images. And that's the image that shows up in that adrenochrome meme, is this sort of propaganda campaign by this Italian bishop who decided he really wanted his own little ritual cult.
Those f***ing woodcutters. They just will take money, whoever puts it out. Where is the artistic integrity in 15th century woodcutters? I hold them in such high regard. I love them. I think it's the best century for woodcutters. And yet, they are so willing to turn a blind eye to the social responsibility of being a woodcutter in that time. They're taking dirty money to put out anti-Semitic propaganda. Shame. Shame on them. I'm never buying 15th century woodcutter art again. I landed in beautiful Budapest, Hungary. It's been home to everyone from composer Franz Liszt to inventor Erno Rubik, creator of games for the world's loneliest children. It may be one country over from an active war zone, but Hungary is a world capital of art, music, and culture. And I was fitting right in. Right now, they're also embracing right-wing nationalism, which is why American conservatives are so enamored with Hungary. When I arrived, it was a national holiday. Basically, Hungary's version of July 4th, except with more fingers intact.
Today's a revolution day. It celebrates in 1848 when they pushed back against the Habsburgs, and I should have bought a guidebook instead of trying to watch Tenet on the plane. What happens in Tenet again?
There was an election underway, so even though this was a national holiday, Prime Minister Viktor Orban was using the event as a political rally. In the 12 years since he took power, Viktor Orban has reshaped the country's judiciary, built a fence along the southern border to keep out refugees, turned Hungarian billionaire George Soros into a boogeyman, and was even sanctioned by the EU for his treatment of the LGBTQ community. It's no wonder Steve Bannon called Viktor Orban Trump before Trump. And as my therapist will tell you, I've been to a ton of Trump rallies. So I brought along a trusty translator to see just how similar an Orban rally is to a MAGA rally. First stop, the merch table.
Do you have any Orban pictures, specifically with him shirtless, riding a velociraptor? Tyrannosaurus Rex.
I see Rex, just a flag. That's basically a Hungarian reference.
Does that have any profanity on it whatsoever?
No, it's just a...
Just a straight
just
flag?
A straightforward flag.
Good luck with the sales today. You don't need to say that one.
Merch, check.
Lock her up. I thought I heard lock her up.
Okay, maybe some things are a little lost in translation. But still, chance, check.
Are there going to be any Let's Go Brandon chants here?
This is live from PS5.
Historic scenes unfolding in San Francisco.
Eloy is the first of her tribe to have laid eyes on this scene in over 2,000 years.
This was live from PS5.
PlayStation. Are there going to be any Let's Go Brandon chants here? Do you know Let's Go Brandon?
I
see signs. Do you know Let's Go Brandon? Okay, so it's... people were chanting. It was at a NASCAR. Do you know NASCAR?
NASCAR.
It's like Formula One, but it's in a circle. It's more boring.
They might shout different slogans.
It's a way to disparage the President of the United States.
But some similarities with Trump fans are universal, like blind devotion.
What do you think of Viktor Orban?
Orban, Viktor, like you are, obviously.
The most exquisite of all of us. You sound like a Trump supporter.
They also had shadowy villains they could blame for everything.
There is
somebody who's behind the scenes. I don't want to name names. He's in the U.S. Somebody who's pulling the strings.
Any chance that person who's pulling the strings, name rhymes with Gorge